The more things change, the more they stay the same. Not so this time. What started as a spark is roaring into a flame of protests, boycotts, cancellations, and exposure. As Christians, we find ourselves in the middle of two voices, one demanding that we matter, and another that wants things normal. And there are casualties on both sides. On this episode of Go Creator Go, we bring back by popular demand Christian Black men who share their insight, knowledge, and opinions concerning the aftermath of America's current events. I'm Antoine Bean, and this is Go Creator Go. Let's do it. Hello, everybody. Hello. I pray that all of you guys are doing well. I pray that you guys are doing amazing. And happy 4th of July weekend to you guys and to everyone listening. The week of the 4th, that is. God bless you guys. I'm Antoine Bean. Welcome to Go Creator Go. This channel is dedicated to Christian creatives, and this is where we gather. And this episode is called Creating Change, Volume 2. And this is a sequel, my first sequel to this, to a subject matter that I've talked about before. And the reason that is because of the demand that I've had to bring these gentlemen back on the show. A couple of weeks ago, we did a thing called Creating Change, which I titled it Creating Change Volume 1, duh. And it was about the aftermath of the George Floyd incident and how America literally started to feel the burn of racist history and the racist present. And things were starting to happen and gaining momentum. But is that momentum still going, though? Joining me now is to my left, the man, the myth, the legend, Dr. Armani Alexander, Morehouse man, teacher, educator, instructor, just amazing all-around guy. Bless him and welcome, sir.
I'm glad to be back, man. Thank you for having me.
Hey, it's so good that you're here, man. Good, so good that you're here. Also joining me now is the human Bible. The man who knows scripture, literally. He has it tattooed on his back, this guy. I love him very much. Pastor Sam, how you doing,
Mercy.
Sir?
I mean, tattooed on my back.
I mean, whole new chapter, whole New Testament, all on his back. And he's got, I mean, just he just knows this word. He just knows it. And also, the king of the mountain, if you will. He stands on the very top holding our flag. Literally, he mounts it on the top of the mountain. My man, Antonio Bright. Hello, sir.
And good afternoon.
I love this dude, man. So, welcome, gentlemen. Where do we begin? Where do we start? So, the last time we talked, mainly about the aftermath of George Floyd protest and all kind of crazy stuff that is going on. Seems like things are kind of slowing down a little bit, though.
Oui.
But, you know, is it because, okay, for example, I'm riding down. I mean, we're in Memphis, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. That's where we are. And riding down Poplar Avenue. Poplar Avenue is the main street that literally goes through the entire city. Mm-hmm. And standing at the busiest intersection of Poplar and Highland here in Memphis was a gentleman holding a Black Lives Matter sign. He was not only standing there holding a Black Lives Matter sign, he was a white dude standing there holding a Black Lives Matter sign. I thought that was quite interesting that I ain't seen nobody Black protesting. As a matter of fact, it's all been about 4th of July.
Yeah.
You know, popping fireworks and getting, you know, what you doing on getting the grill. Lit. Man, what? And the one person that I see standing for Black Lives Matter or standing for Black people is a white dude standing on the corner getting literally, I saw him get cursed out 3 times at the light while I was waiting for the light to change. This guy got cursed out 3 times by other white people. Mm. for holding that sign standing. He was a tree. He will not be moved. He was standing there like, I said what I said. I'm holding this sign.
Yeah.
And to me, it almost made me think like, man, that's kind of messed up, because technically, does he really need to be standing out there? You know, he took a fight that some people would say is not his.
Yeah.
Some people would say that's not your fight. He is literally standing out there taking the blows of something that he doesn't necessarily, does he really have to stand there? And why aren't we out there? You know what I'm saying? That's the even bigger question. Anybody want to jump in on that?
Yes, I'll jump in with Come this on, one sir. Right away.
Come on.
We're not out there just because all he got was cursed at.
Mm.
If we're standing out there, police are called, and we could have another incident. Mm. So see, that right there is a glaring example of the difference of why we have the issue.
Right.
We have a fear of standing out peacefully protesting because anything we do peacefully could end in our demise.
Mm.
What you said was the worst that happened to him was he got cursed out.
Yeah. Right. That I saw, you know.
I'm okay with that. I've been cursed out by a lot of people. So I'm okay. That's not a big threat to me. But for one of us to stand out there and protest peacefully, police will be called in, dogs. We don't know what may happen.
Right.
So to me, that's how I look at that situation. Yeah. It's not to discredit what he's doing, but I have to look at it with a realistic perspective of why he's allowed to do it.
Right. Do you, not to cut you off, but let me ask you this. Maybe that's what he thought too. They really do see now the quote unquote privilege. Yeah. They see it.
So that's it right there. That's an example of white privilege.
Yeah.
Like the worst he gets is cursed out.
Yeah.
Think about that. That's the extreme of him protesting.
Yeah. Well, it is a popular intersection to make a statement. Like I think every Tuesday, the anti-abortion people are there, and it's like a rotation. Oh, what's the cause of the day? They show up at that intersection. I think statistically, it's the most frequented corner in the entire city.
Yes, yeah, the most hits within the city.
Yeah, yeah. Poplar and Highland.
And it's not to discredit what he's doing at all.
Right, sure.
It's not.
I applaud it
and appreciate it because it's very hot out there.
Man.
But to keep it in perspective.
It's hot out here for a protester.
I almost said something.
Ooh-wee. And you're in the right city, too. You know, I don't think that it's lost its steam because of the way the world was put on notice throughout social media.
Okay.
When I see people in Germany protesting, I mean, the largest country to protest because they went through something very similar in terms of supremacy with the Nazis.
And they make it very adamant that it will not happen again.
Exactly. They've removed everything. And this is one thing, I got to say this because I always thought this was very interesting. Germany wasn't the first country to utilize its ideology as it pertained to white supremacy. The blonde hair, the blue-eyed,
right, the Aryan
white person. Yeah, thing. The Aryan race. Mm-hmm. It was the white people of the South who seceded from America back in 1860.
Yeah.
And so Germany has a great history in understanding where it's come from towards its development to a new future. And they've removed, as the Bible will say, I'm a walking Bible, right? All their idols, right? That were framed from that mindset of white supremacy, and we haven't. But I think the reason why I don't believe that it's losing steam is because the world has put it on notice. And number two, they're bringing it to the UN as a international issue with the United States,
right?
Which I don't think we've had many of those with the
UN. No, not a whole thing, not a whole lot at the UN.
I would definitely agree with Pastor Sam. It's like, we may not see as many people, posting on social media. We may not see as many people out protesting, but we still see things happening around the country that I think should have happened.
Absolutely.
We just talked about it before we came on, the Mississippi changing their flag.
Yeah, man.
That's a big deal.
That's a big deal.
The Washington Redskins. Coming.
Yeah, the Washington
Redskins. Yeah, we
talked
about that too, yeah.
The statues coming
Yes,
down.
Yes, yes.
Minnesota's getting rid of their police department.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Which is crazy. So it makes you wonder, that situation that happened in Memphis a couple of years ago that made national news with taking down Nathan Bedford Forrest's statue and Jefferson Davis, the former president of the Confederate Nation, taking his statue down from downtown, were we ahead of our time?
I think we pushed the limit, but you have to remember Memphis has one of the largest populations of African Americans in the nation.
It has the biggest concentration of black people in the entire country is here in Memphis. Just ask the Black Panther ticket sales. The concentration wise, because of where we're located, we're almost in the center of the country. So Memphis and the surrounding areas, yes, there are more African Americans in this spot than anywhere else.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what pushed that. I actually knew the alderman here in Memphis.
Yes,
the guys who bought that lot of land to kind of make that stuff happen. Right,
it was very slick, very ingenuitive.
Exactly. Yeah. It was very. You know, that's why you can never say that. You know, African Americans aren't intelligent.
Right. You know, very advantageous.
Get out of my face with that. But I think we were talking about it a little earlier, and I always liken movements of this nature to a fire, a really good fire. If you're grilling, I pride myself now.
Come on, sir,
in being a decent chef as it pertains to the grilling.
I guarantee you can't outdo me.
I don't know.
I've actually heard about Dr. Alexander.
Really,
though. I actually have.
Listen, talk to my wife's brother.
Okay, come on, sir.
All I know, I've never heard this word used in this context.
I'll taste test both of them.
This man said my ribs slap. I don't know what ribs slap mean, but and I don't even like ribs. You know, I don't even eat ribs, but I made them and they slap. Right. That's all.
Well,
I liken it to an accelerant, right?
So
you get your coals, you get your grill.
Yep.
You know, you start a fire, and if you don't use the right accelerant to ignite the flame of that fire, it's not going to last long.
That is true.
And I think with some of the movements in the past, in the '90s, my lifetime, right, the '90s, early 2000s. Our movements have been nothing more than the proverbial gas that's been passed from someone's bowels, right? It was disgusting. It was insulting, but it went away, right? Mm-hmm. And I think with this, we've lit the right fuel. Mm-hmm. We put the right match in it. And now there's a lingering flame that's there. There's a lingering presence of something that's heating the nation, and it's pushing change. Most change doesn't happen in protest.
Right.
It ignites the fire that sparks the movement for laws to be passed to change the trajectory of what the country is going to be doing moving forward. And I wholeheartedly believe right now that we're in the prime time.
Yes.
No pun intended, right? We're in the prime time
to
see and are witnessing some of the greatest changes that we've ever seen before in our
lifetime. Yeah, absolutely. And you couldn't have said it any better, because I really feel like, in my opinion, is that was phase one.
Yep.
Yeah.
The protests were phase one.
We still got miles to go.
Yeah, we still got miles to go. But I'm seeing, shifting wise, this generation, this younger generation, man, they really are taking it by force.
Yeah.
They're starting to now shift more toward financial now.
Yep.
So they're saying, okay, we made our point in the street. Now let's start messing with this money. Now let's start attacking these businesses, coming with these, you know, asking these corporations, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Asking these organizations, how are you doing? Yeah. And why are you not doing? You know, I mean, you've got people now, like, for example, the whole thing with, now you have all these companies now making these statements that they're standing by black people now. It's companies that you never would have imagined ever in the past even speaking out on political issues, let alone racial ones.
Hey, listen, and if they don't, they canceled.
Right. Completely canceled.
I still haven't bought another cup of Starbucks since they came out with that statement about the paraphernalia.
Yeah. Yeah. So, totally canceled.
Cancel culture.
Now, speaking of canceled, so... I'm sure you guys have heard about our man Lecrae, and
man, people are dying who've never died before.
So
I'm sorry.
You funny, man. So have y'all seen the interview? Did y'all see it?
I watched it.
So let's get y'all up to speed who haven't heard. So Passion Church out of Atlanta. Ooh-wee. Passion Church, Pastor Giglio. He has a show, he has an open forum, and it's him, Lecrae, and the owner of Chick-fil-A, his son, Mr. Caffey. Mm. They're sitting there in a little triangle, and Pastor Giglio turns to Lecrae, a black man, 6'6", 230 pounds, all healthy, strong black man, and looks him dead in the face and says, and I quote, that slavery was a blessing to white people in America. To which Lecrae turns and he, first of all, he has a shocked look on his face. God bless him. He has a shocked look on his face like, did he just say? and so he goes, yeah. And so people immediately try to cancel him because they think that he
agrees.
Cancel
Lecrae or cancel Passion Church?
It seems that they've been more attacking Lecrae than Passion Church, which is interesting, but you know.
So even with that, like, I got to ask the question, who's canceling Lecrae and who's canceling Passion Church? Because I feel like, and this is where I get a little offended.
Yeah.
Because I'm an African-American male who is very learned and educated.
Yes, right? You are, sir.
And very well-read.
Iowa.
Listen, Minnesota, Wisconsin.
Come on.
Right? You know, so I've been around both parties. Yep. But one thing that kind of offends me is black people attack their own so horribly and aggressively.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We are one of the, and I'm saying this as a black male.
Yep. I got the answer for it.
I'm going to say this and you give me the answer.
Yes, sir.
You give me the solution to my concern. I got a problem.
Come on, man.
Because I'm offended at the fact that we are one of the only races within the world that will attack our own. I'm not talking about Africans. I'm talking about the black men in the United States.
In America, the U.S. That's right.
Who will go out and attack their own, tear down their own. Mm-hmm. And we're almost like crabs in a barrel or a crawfish in a barrel.
Yep.
Because every time one person begins to elevate and come up, and when we make a mistake, we're so quick to tear them down.
Yep.
We're so quick to be extremely opinionated on them.
Yep.
And we lose grace.
I was doing some research the other day.
Uh-oh.
And what prompted this research is, like, I saw a post on Facebook, and bless her heart, I don't know her. But she was like, this is why I don't support black businesses.
Yeah.
She went on this long rant about, you know, whatever happened between her and the person that she was trying to buy whatever product from.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, I was like, why do we always do that? Because now we've seen more black folks trying to support other black businesses.
Right.
But by the same token, we're seeing more people saying, well, this is exactly why I don't do this. But you'll go to McDonald's, they'll mess up your meal.
Every day.
Attitude and all.
And you go back and you say nothing.
Right.
But whenever it is that we try to support other black businesses, we give them no grace.
Nothing.
You know, to
no
mess
slack.
Up. No slack. And you're exactly right. We attack our people more than we ever do anybody else.
Here's the answer. Twofold. Willie Lynch letter. Go against each other to keep them divided.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, you got a sister, right?
Yep.
You got any siblings? You have a twin sister.
Oh man, I got seven siblings, fam.
You got seven?
I got enough siblings for us all.
Okay, cool. Well, you can definitely get what I'm saying here. I have a younger brother.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're at the house and we have squabbles with our siblings and our cousins and all that, and we are the, you know, like, We gonna go in. Like, when we fight, we fight.
You got A-type personalities.
Man, we fight. Yeah. We go in. We da-da-da-da-da-da. Soon as you go outside, here come the bully around the corner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, how come you don't have that same energy to whoop him like you just did your brother, you know, over the Atari game? Mm-hmm. How come you ain't whoop him like you whooped him? It's the same thing.
No,
so,
man, I go after that bully before. I'm just as upset with my brother as I am with the bully. I don't care.
Yeah.
I probably have some anger issues I got to deal with. I ain't gonna lie.
But I'm saying but as black people, we do that. We quick to beat up on each other, but then the person who's actually saying I'm going to oppress you.
Yeah.
We don't come at him at all. We don't come at him with that energy.
Wow.
You know, we come at him, you know, well, you keep both hands on the wheel.
But why don't the Jews do that? Don't look him in the eye.
I can maybe give another perspective to that. So this is why it's so important that we don't let off the gas of understanding all the damage emotionally, psychologically, and mentally that slavery and oppression did.
Yeah.
Because the master has beaten us so much that we're not going to go against him. So if nothing else, I can at least fight with you. And even if it's not to win or to help you succeed, I can get out my frustration.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, though. When you look at the hierarchy of how slavery was set up, it was the overseer
that was yes. really the one that was inflicting the fear.
Yep.
Yes.
The owner, the master, you never really saw him. You never really saw him.
It was your own kind.
Yeah. 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 Like the person that really owned all the slaves.
Yes.
You never even saw him. The guy that inflicted all of the division and the pain on you, that's the overseer. He was a notch, literally one situation over you anyway, financially, economically, the way he lived. The only difference was he was white and you were black. That was the only difference.
It was a psychology.
It was a psychology.
And that's why they always kept him on a horse.
Right.
So he seemed elevated.
Yes.
To you.
Good job, sir. So well done.
Samuel L. Jackson and Django.
What it also does is it gives that misrepresentation of, okay, if all three of us are in here and Brother Sam goes and be successful, now the mental abuse that I've been under, I now think and look at Brother Sam as he's going to go from being in the field
right.
to being the house. Mm-hmm. So I don't even want you to get up higher, because I know if you get up higher than me, you're going to help the master oppress and attack me. So that's what we have to keep very present, the concept and the reality of the house and field.
Right.
But understand the context of it. It's not really the way they're portraying it,
mm-hmm.
but it's because we've been so
it's a lie.
We've been so conditioned to where if he gets ahead, he's going to turn around and hurt me. So I have to hold him down.
Right.
But see, the only thing I have to counteract that is when slavery ended, we had some of the greatest level of black success within America.
Oh, the Black Renaissance.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yep. You know, you have Harlem developing. You have some lower movements like Black Wall Street. You have so Tulsa, Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. You have a portion of Arkansas that is very well economically.
Right.
And of course, you know, those the oppressors come in and they essentially try to take over.
Florida.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So my question is, we've been able to overcome that before, even after that moment of slavery, you know, in terms of the 400 years of oppression, the years of Jim Crow.
Right.
But my question is, if we were able to do it then, what's stopping us from doing it now in a more, not as liberated as we need to be, but a more liberated society than where we were?
I believe that part of that is that we may have gotten a little spoiled in our oppression. You know, one thing about Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and all those guys were hungry for it. They had a fervor that it just wasn't enough.
So are you saying we become content in convenient covenants?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. I really believe that. And that happened in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Because when that occurred was the Blaxploitation movement. When the Blaxploitation movement, it's like, where do generals go when the war ends? They don't. They die. You know what I mean? There's no war to fight.
Mm-hmm.
So when Dr. King was assassinated here in Memphis, 20 minutes from where we are right now, it literally took the wind out of our sails. And we were like, man, forget this. Yeah, forget this, man. I'm gonna go disco, you know. I'm going to go watch some Jim Kelly and call it a day.
I'm going to go hang out with Hugh.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I'm done. I'm done. You know, and I think that's what happened. You know, it's just like what me and Antonio talked about with, you know, not passing. There was no Joshua to Moses. There's nobody to say, hey, if this happened to me, mm-hmm. I need you to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Succession plan.
Yeah, there's no plan. You know, there was no plan to move on. We just want to get free now. We want to get free now. We don't want to think about it. It's not, yeah, the future generation is great, but I want to get free now.
Yes. You know? And to answer also what you were saying, Sam, is that's when drugs started being introduced.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Nixon and their plan. And
it's never that
Contelefro.
We stopped.
Yeah.
It's just we were always being contaminated from some unknown source, to where things mysteriously popped up in black neighborhoods that were succeeding. Liquor stores, five and dime, check cashing places.
Oh, yeah.
All mm-hmm. these. They just miraculously started appearing.
Don't get a bank account. Just cash your checks.
Right. Yeah.
And that stunted, because if I can attack the successful black's mind and I can distract you, and then I can break the foundation at the home,
right.
and then I can I can get you to get away from believing in God and having faith and having a foundation to where now crack becomes your God.
Yeah.
All of these things. Now, you're not as focused and driven to achieve the same things that you were once achieving.
Right.
Yeah.
So now you become like distracted by so many things.
Yeah.
So that's where that kind of got derailed.
Yeah. You know, and then too, like you mentioned crack too, and then drugs being introduced, which is amazing because after the civil rights movement ended and leaders started either getting quiet or dying off, particularly the Panthers were the last stand. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that was it. And by that time, Angela Davis was on the run hiding in Cuba. Stokely Carmichael was overseas in Africa. Kwame Ture, God bless his soul. Eldridge Cleaver was on the run as well, him and Kathleen Cleaver. And Fred Hampton was murdered in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So then they were dispersed all over the place. Huey was in and out of court. Bobby Seale in and out of court. So H-Rap Brown and those guys in and out of court. Sada Secure and all those guys in and out of, you know, the New York Nine, all you know, it was Chicago Nine. They were in and out of court.
Yeah.
So then black people, we really just decided, forget it. I'm going discoing, I'm chilling. But what happened was it was popular to be black. So our neighborhood started to get funded, you know, basically flooded with opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So then the money started to show up. So what did we do as community-based people? Because we were still hungry, remember? So yep. We were still hungry with community. So what we did was we worked with white people. We worked in corporate America. We worked in these factory gigs and doing these great gigs, right? And so they had a system set up where dad was working at a nice job. Mom was a teacher or a nurse, because that's pretty much all women did at that time.
Exactly.
And then they would take their money and flip it and put it into a personal business, like a neighborhood business, like a Sondry. That's a corner grocery store, by the way, for some of y'all who don't know.
Sondry.
So they had those. They had the washing laundromats and bakeries and cleaners mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Well, in comes Ronald Reagan in the 80s. Yeah, Reaganomics, the trickle-down theory. The trickle-down theory. Mm-hmm. Who, by the way, his vice president was H.W. Bush, who was head of the CIA at the time that Kennedy was assassinated. You do the math.
Yep.
So him and former President Gerald Ford,
mm-hmm.
they were all in that together.
Yep.
You know,
Hoover and all them.
Yeah, they mm-hmm. were all in, and they were all part of Contellapro going against the Black Panther Party. Mm-hmm. They went all again. Do your history. I'm not lying.
Listen, it's true.
So
wait a sec. So just before you go on real quick, I want to just put in there. Remember what you said in the beginning. It was being black was the good thing or the hip thing to do.
It was the hip thing, yeah.
Now we have Black Lives Matters.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fashion trend. It's the cool thing to do.
Yeah, that's what
we're
I was
working
yeah.
together with white people again. We're getting funded. The distractions now are just this technology is where we're resourcing our money back into.
Which I'm actually going to get into that. So
just to be mindful.
Yeah.
Like we're seeing this. We've seen this show before.
Yep.
We just have to now be better equipped to understand.
And I think this generation is really hip to that. I think they are. I think it's that. I think this is where the turn left is going to happen. I really believe that. And there's a difference there because their perspective is way different than ours.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, how they see stuff, man, is they see, like, man, you full of crap. I see what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not ashamed at all to tell you, like, you full of mess. Like, I know that you right. don't have my best interest. And the thing is that even if they threaten that, they're like, I'm not going to lose anything.
Mm-hmm.
What's the most you're gonna do? Not work with me? Not do business with me? I don't care. You know, I can build my own.
Listen,
stuff.
I'll build my own app, and we'll call it a day. That's the zillion. But this is where we're gonna come back to.
That's right.
So Lecrae.
Yeah.
So we said all that to say this.
Yeah.
I think the issue with Lecrae wasn't Lecrae. Right. I think it was his position.
Absolutely. Right. And that's what I was getting to earlier.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I just think it was his position, considering the people who he was in front of.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's look at it like this. Yeah. Right. You're the only black man that's available to be postured and positioned in front of Passion Church pastor and Chick-fil-A owner.
Well, not only that, he Lecrae is, as T.I. would put it, he's a very humble man.
Yeah,
he's a very humble man, and he's a bigger man than a lot of people are.
Absolutely,
because he is the kind of person that he could sit there and he'd be like, you know what, I'm gonna rest on God on this, because a lot of brothers would sit there and would have been like,
and a lot of people would have clapped back and they would have clapped themselves out of new opportunities because of how they've handled poor situations.
Right.
And so I don't think that's why I asked at the beginning, who's the parties that are talking about Lecrae, right? And who's talking about the Passion Church pastor?
And these are people that aren't invested in him anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you don't even know him. You've never listened to a song. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You've never heard a CD.
And
you don't know what
a
stance.
Playlist.
See?
Yeah. Oh, I totally got respect for the man. The man is amazing.
And see, I don't know him like that. I've heard of him, but I'm thinking about him thinking about his own well-being.
Right.
Right. We just talked about Huey and the Black Panthers. Just talked about Dr. King. We just talked about Malcolm X. Talked about all the other generals. Mm-hmm. And this guy's in a position where he's like, man, I'm not saying that he compromised. Mm-hmm. But what I am saying is it's hard to process your thoughts in that moment.
Way. Right.
Yeah.
And then to immediately come out with a good level-headed response.
Yeah.
Because I just read that actually Bernice King was supposed
to be on the show
with him, but backed out because of, you know, some.
Yeah,
some
she had a personal injury. Yeah, she tweaked her back.
I just wonder how the conversation would have went had she not been the only Black person on that stage.
It may have been for her protection because, as many of you guys know, Bernice King, Reverend Bernice, is not one to play with.
She's going to hold her mouth. She's going to say the truth and she's going to, you know.
Yeah, she would have baked his bread right there on TV. Yeah. Like, for real. Like, so that may have been a blessing in disguise for her.
But all I'm saying is every response doesn't, I don't need to come back and rebuttal you.
Right.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because of a person's ignorance.
And I think that's, and that's so wise that you said that, because that's the culture that we're in, where everybody debates, but there are no results.
Yeah. Exactly.
You can turn to Fox News and all they're doing is arguing
about
nothing. And it's just going on and on and on. And at the end, it's really about who gets the last word.
Let's consider this.
Everybody has an opinion.
Yeah. Now. He's a Grammy Award winner.
Yeah.
He's sold platinum CDs.
Millions of records.
This is not his first rodeo.
No, absolutely not.
Now let me ask, what was the platinum CD you came out with?
Right.
You know, that's a rhetorical question.
Yeah.
But I'm being honest.
Yeah,
you know,
it's true.
How many rooms with multimillionaires have you been in?
Yeah. Right.
You know, see, I've been in rooms with people worth 300 plus millions of dollars who've owned it themselves.
That's right.
And my question is, I'm not trying to be that guy. But what I am saying is, as we're talking about Lecrae, you know, let's consider his position in this situation.
That's right.
And consider how he was probably feeling in that moment, because we don't know how you would have responded.
Oh, you can
or how
look,
I would have responded.
Hey, listen, when I heard that Pastor Giglio say that, the camera immediately cuts to Lecrae's face.
Mm-hmm.
So that's media, and that's exactly.
It was planned out that way, for sure. For sure. I mean, we got to keep that brother lifted, you know.
I do have a question, because it's funny. I wrote down it in. Brought some scriptures in before I came.
Okay.
And it's funny we brought this up. And I had Galatians 3:28.
Uh-oh.
And at 3:28 through 29, where it says, in Christ's family, there can be no division into Jew and non-Jew, slave and free,
woof,
male and female. Among us, you are all equal. That is, we are all in a common relationship with Jesus Christ. Also, since you are Christ's family, then you are Abraham's famous descendant.
Yes, sir.
Heirs according to the covenant promises. So now,
Bible man.
Man, where is the Hammond B3 when you need it?
So, not even knowing that we were going to speak about Lecrae, because I'm not going to let this moment be about denigrating him.
No, I just want to be clear about that. I love the brother.
But I'm going to put the fire on that pastor.
Yeah, exactly.
Giglio was out of order.
We were talking about Lecrae, but what about Passion Church?
See, I need to hold him accountable, because you're the leader of the sheep. And like you said in that interview, you're 57.
Yeah.
58.
58 now. Mm-hmm. So if the Bible, like I said, not my opinion, not my perspective, not my dream or anything else, slave and free. So how do you say it was a blessing if it was something that wasn't from God.
Come on.
Now, were you making your own your own requirements?
Right.
And sometimes that's what we do. We, you know, we'll do our own thing and then say it's God.
You preaching?
Yeah.
So
That's like going to the coach store and I go and I steal a bag.
Come on, coach.
And say, oh, the Lord has blessed me with this bag. No, that's not of God. He didn't bless you with that. You went and stole that. Just like you came and stole people.
That's right.
From another country.
From another country.
Put them in a trade.
Put them in a trade.
Changed the philosophy.
And made money off of it.
And made money off of it. Now you calling them.
And then flipped it over and over and over and passed it over to your kids, passed it over to your grandkids, bought land with it, land that you stole, by the way.
Right.
And
exactly. Because we know good and well Columbus ain't find no Americas.
And then took the same money and built a bank with it and created a financial institution with it and then created an entire work system out of it and funded the very organization that controls and runs your country and uses that and then turn around and tell the very people hey, you got, what's your problem? Why can't you do this yourself?
Right.
So again, my thing would be just like the tragic incident with Mr. George Floyd, the police officer.
Right.
The calmness and the posture with which he said it, like there was no apprehension. No, he said it with a calm and steady voice. Mm-hmm. Like he was saying what he really felt.
Mm-hmm.
So that feeling just didn't pop up in him. In that moment,
he felt that since 1962 when he was born.
Well, apparently the two of them have history.
Him and LeCrae?
No, George Floyd and the police officer have history.
Oh yeah,
they've known each other for years, and apparently they were like oil and vinegar, like water and vinegar. They never got along.
And premeditated.
Yeah, it was premeditated for sure.
Because I'm sitting on your neck today.
Yeah, yeah. So apparently he has been savoring that moment, which explains why it was 8:46.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
You know. So yeah, but all of that's going to come out in the trial.
Exactly.
You know, which I'm more than sure will be on TV.
This is another
OJ situation. Listen, yeah.
If they let the man get out.
Oh no, I truly don't think that's going to happen. I they would be insane.
I'm telling you, I said it earlier, be very careful. It's getting a lot of publicity. They're going to use every distraction, maybe have to move to a different venue.
Yeah.
They are going to use that the police officer was in fear. And that becomes more of an objective, subjective type of thing as to,
he looked pretty calm to me.
But I can't say he what smiled, was threatening or fearful or what was causing you
had
fear.
Had shades on his head? No.
So, and again, it was a discouraged
practice. But that's
practice,
subjective, too.
But yeah. It was a discouraged practice for their police department. It was allowed, and it's written in there.
Yeah.
It just was
upon. That wasn't allowed in Minnesota. They didn't train that within the academy.
Yeah, that was something he
that.
Did.
Mm-hmm.
He did that. He was like, I'm going to, that's not a tactic that they do.
Not in Minnesota.
No.
Okay, I'm going to check it. I was reading through and like.
Mm-mm. I remember I was listening to a report.
Okay.
That was not a practice that they taught their policemen that were coming in through the academy in the Twin Cities. That's not something that they practice. That's not something that they learn.
Okay, got you.
Now, whether it's legal or not, I'm not sure about that, but that's not something that they're taught.
Okay, got you.
Yeah, that's something.
Thank you for the correction.
No.
It was completely crazy. All right, guys. Well, we're going to take a quick break real quick. And when we come back, I want to talk creatively about, because we've seen some of the most creative stuff in this season, probably in our generation. Like, we've seen some really creative things. And I want to talk about what it will take creatively to continue to spread this momentum of growth and change. So this is Go Creator Go. I'm Antoine Bean. We'll be back. We'll be right back.
All right, guys, we are back. We are back. I am back with the panel of doom. I couldn't think of the Justice League thing, so I thought the Legion of Doom. So
Legion.
Yeah. All right, so we're back with the assembly of the fellas, some of my favorite people in the world. Future Dr. Armani Alexander.
Doctor.
Pastor Sam Fedden.
Idiotia.
And my man, the man, the myth, the legend, Antonio Bright. So
Coordinate.
My man, first of all, I also want to announce too that Go Create a Go will soon be visual. Man. To God be the glory. So pretty soon we're going to be visual. So you guys are going to be able to see Antonio rocking this 1990s shirt.
It's fresh.
It is fresh for real. I have not seen one of those shirts since I was in college. Like, that is so dope. That is so dope. Man, I don't know where you find these shirts, man. I mean, it is so amazing to see that because you're my brother in arms because we're around the same age. So, man, that's so cool to see that stuff, man. I'm a 90s guy. So, I just, when I see stuff like that, man, with the Martin designs and the red, black, and green, and all, it's just so cool to see that.
Sir, when you said Atari earlier, that I don't know if anyone else caught that. I was like, there's a generation like, what?
Atari.
Maybe I play that Pong game.
No, I'm not that old. but I didn't have a Pong game. So I came Atari and Sega Genesis.
Mm, yeah, I was Sega Genesis.
Sega Genesis, yep. And
Sonic the Hedgehog. Yeah, man. Lion King.
Oh yeah, and NBA Jam.
Listen, yeah, man. He used that Bill Clinton cheat code.
And the George Clinton one, the P-Funk. Yeah. Yep. Man, and you know, they got the arcade one up now of the NBA Jam.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's like $250. But
wait. The like a big arcade?
Yeah, like the arcade, like the cabinet arcade.
Are you serious?
Yeah, the one up arcade. Yeah, man.
I'm about to buy that.
Yeah, they got NBA Jams, Hang Time, and I think the special edition version on there.
Then he being Shaq Fu back. Or is that
Shaq Fu? Yeah, that's awesome, man. With the Pushnikins. Yeah, man, you 90s for real.
Listen, all day.
Yeah, that's what's up.
100%.
Man, now speaking of all, because all that is creative stuff. So we've seen some amazing creative moves that have been made. And probably the most recent that I can probably say right now is the Kanye West
gap
situation. First of all, that is a stroke of genius.
He's a billionaire already.
He is. And I think a lot of people are a little surprised because he joined with the Gap for just apparel. It's not shoes. So you Yeezy heads out there, y'all are safe. But the problem is, but the question is, why didn't, because he has an apparel line with Adidas. Why would Adidas not raise a ruckus about him signing an apparel deal with the Gap? I have a theory, but I want to hear what you have to say about it. Because you're a business guy. You talk to a Fortune 500 companies mm-hmm. all the time. So what kind of move do you think this is? I have a theory, but I think you probably have a better insight than I do.
I don't know about that. But what I will say, I don't know if Adidas strategically solidified an exclusive-only deal with Kanye.
Yeah.
And if I'm Kanye, I'm thinking that all of his stuff with Adidas are really high quality, like high volume,
right?
Pricing wise, worth of stuff, right?
Because the Gap is, you know, they're pretty.
Oh, that's like $50 to $100, maybe.
Maybe. Or, I mean, a pair of jeans. Yeah, a pair of jeans tops out at maybe $50-$60.
So I think what Kanye is doing is he's reaching all segments of the market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's reaching not just the very wealthy person with these Yeezys,
right?
And I don't buy Yeezys, no. Right? My wife does, but
I was about
to
say, now Sierra's got some. I've seen them. They dope,
but I heard they're expensive.
They are extremely
right?
ridiculous.
So I think what he's trying to do is to make sure that he's not tarnishing his legacy to do a Jordan. I think what he's trying to do is be exclusive to all markets,
right?
While still hitting various niches in those markets too.
Yeah. Now here's my theory. I think, because here's the thing about Gap, and I'm sure you would know this. I've been kind of following them for a while. I used to be really big on them in the 90s. I used to be really big on Gap with the product Red line they had where they were supporting HIV and AIDS in Africa. And they were huge about that. And even to this day, I have a Red
jacket, leather jacket. I love that jacket. So I used to stay in the Gap all the time. Gap is traditionally Americana. So that's in the same line as Ralph Lauren, Tommy Hilfiger, Polo, prep, prep wear, know what I'm saying? So that's traditional Americana. Kanye West's style has been that. He started out Americana.
College prep.
With college prep, college dropout, and all that. Which, if you do your history, that style actually comes from Africa. From the prep school styles of Africa. And the styles of the shirts and the stripes and all that are actually, if you look closely at them, they're African flags. Wow. Yes. The formats of them were modeled after flags in Africa. So if you take a look at them and see like the patchwork and stuff like that, a lot of the flags from the nation of Africa, whether it be Cameroon, Sierra Leone, Central Africa and Southern Africa, even how you see the South African, the new South African flag, it literally looks like a polo shirt. Wow. So yeah, they kind of took some of those, it was influenced by some of those ideas of how those flags are designed.
So he's making Gap a black line.
Well, this is my theory though. Check this out. So Gap was very successful 80s, 90s. They've been around since 1969 from San Francisco. Like I said, traditional Americana. And in the early 2000s, mid 2000s, they got a new CEO who knows squat about fashion. He's a numbers guy.
Analytics?
Yeah, he's all the analytics guy in the room. I think, don't quote me on this, but he did some numbers work for Liz Claiborne and got Liz Claiborne out of bankruptcy. And so I think that's what got him the job.
Claim to fame, yeah.
Yeah, so he knows nothing about fashion, merchandising, anything. He just knows how to make money. He's the bottom line. Well, as you can see, it's not really working for the Gap. The company has reached the lowest sales possible. If you notice, they're closing stores right and left.
True.
The only thing that's really keeping the store afloat is the fact that they own Old Navy.
True.
So they own Old Navy, and everybody goes to Old Navy, especially college kids. Yeah. Love Old Navy. That's why they're strategically by colleges and universities.
True.
So they do very well. They also acquired Banana Republic a couple of years ago, which was, to me, the smartest move that they've ever made.
I agree.
They purchased Banana Republic and bought them because they were independent. Mm-hmm. They had their own thing, and then they filed Chapter 7, and then they bailed them out. They bought them. I believe Kanye West, from the beginning of this fashion thing, has always said, I want to be a head player in that industry.
But he failed the first time around.
He did fail the first time around, but he did it independently. No companies would intern him, and no companies would allow him to work with him. So what I believe is going to happen is this deal with Gap is a test run. I believe that ultimately they're either going to give him the company or he's going to buy it. And if he buys the Gap, that makes him a major player because the Gap is not a retailer to sneeze at.
True.
Everywhere. They're everywhere, and they have a history. And they, like I said, it's an Americana line. They've been around since 69, and they were born out of revolution. They were born in 69 in the Hype District in San Francisco. So that was the peak of the women's movement. With Angela Davis and all that stuff going on over there. So you see how all this is tying back in. So that plays a part in that. Gap has always been a revolutionary company. Even talking about, and if you want to go there with political stuff, they were one of the companies that were front and center back in the 90s talking about racial inequality. They did campaigns to support President Bill Clinton when he ran against George H.W. Bush. They also were the first company fashion-wise to support gay rights and the rainbow and all that, incorporate that into merchandising. They were the ones that did that first. They did the thing with Product Red where they teamed up with U2 and Bono, and they did that whole thing with Oprah and all these other celebrities and Apple. They did synergy with other companies that weren't even in their realm to do with Product Red to bring HIV awareness in Africa and raise billions of dollars for them, which I would not be surprised if Kanye West on his watch brought that back. I would not be surprised if he brought that back.
You know what I love about this is that, to your point and to your, it's building Kanye's credibility in his portfolio.
Right.
To be able to say, I've done X, Y, and Z.
Yep.
these are mine, because he's talking to money people, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So the one percenters in the world don't care about race per se. They have a perspective because in that area they're a little ignorant, right? Because of their experience with people.
Yeah, they have no idea.
But what they do know is that money talks. Yep. And if you can show that I've moved this needle for a major player, for a major company that is currently shutting down stores, like if Kanye could have gone to a JCPenney that's almost filing for bankruptcy now, right?
Or Kmart or something like that. Yeah.
Like, well, you know, his wife was a part of Kmart, wasn't she? You know, the
company. That's right. That's
so,
right.
So I don't know if you want to go with Kmart. The Kardashians are known for many things. They revitalized careers. They've raised the dead. You know what I'm saying? They couldn't raise Kmart,
They couldn't raise Kmart. That is true. I forgot about that. Yeah. But you got to take an L somewhere.
And to your credit, Kanye took an L initially in the fashion industry because people didn't like him.
They did not. That's
but
true.
His stuff are still trending now, yes. Right? Like, yeah. I didn't like the holes in my shirts look, but people are still wearing that. Yeah. You know?
Do you think that is part of the reason that part of the whole thing with him being a Christian now? You think so? You think that's part of that?
I think Kanye right now is finding himself.
Yeah.
I think he was going through dramatic depression.
Yeah. Oh man.
I think he lost his mind, and I think my wife even mentioned that even on the show, the Kardashians, Keeping with the Kardashians, that he was always looking lost, and even Kim was like, there's something wrong with him to an extent. But I think now he's turning the corner. I do like how he was trying to flip the script in regards to his relationship with Donald Trump, saying he wanted to get some of his friends out of jail so he became a good friend of Trump's, you know, which
it worked.
I believe it to an extent. I think that he was, you know, I think it was all publicity just to be counterculture, because that's just true Kanye's nature, right?
Yeah,
he's always been the countercultured guy. Yeah. He's always been against the grain. He's never been your traditional, you know, when you're thinking about cadence of life, keeping up the same cadence or anything like that.
Right.
So I think that now that he's being more level-headed, now that he's considering his children and his legacy, I think this is just setting him up for extreme success, and he's been very methodical in the way that he's approaching this.
I liken him to Nebuchadnezzar biblically.
I can see that.
You know, Nebuchadnezzar was a king who literally had everything, and the Bible says that he lost his mind. The Bible says that he was standing over looking at his kingdom, and he said, you know, look at the kingdom to which I created. And even in the middle of the sentence, they said that the Bible says that he lost his mind immediately. Mm-hmm. He felt his mind leave him. Mm-hmm. You know, some interpretation says that he fell into insanity, I believe. Listen,
I mean, he was on the floor going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah. And he went to the forest for 7 years, grew hair like feathers, mm-hmm. grew his nails long like claws, and was eating the locusts and the bugs of the ground,
almost
and things
like John.
That. Yeah. That's something else. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So when
foreshadow.
Foreshadow.
So air horn.
So when you think about that, you know, I always look into God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I always look into that. I see the revolving door of life consistently in God's work in people, you know, and I think that happened when he said when he confessed God after 7 years, he came to himself and he came back and he became even more powerful than he was before. Do you think that that is a reflection of what we're seeing? Are we seeing a Nebuchadnezzar testimony in Kanye West?
I think all of us by nature have a Nebuchadnezzar testimony. And it wasn't just Nebuchadnezzar. You have people who are like your Josephs of the world. You have people who are like Moses.
Yeah,
you know, I like in the Bible always talks about everyone in life is going to go through some form of a wilderness, a desert, or a mountain-esque experience.
Right.
You know, David went through two different wildernesses and endured a desert.
Right.
Jesus Christ endured a mountain. You're going to endure something in life. And I do think that Kanye endured that when his mother passed away, and then he started losing himself and losing his mind, and even his lyrics were kind of like,
Like,
where is this coming from?
You know? Even though some of that stuff was the most prolific stuff he's ever done.
Absolutely.
That 808.
Man, that 808 was crazy. You know, did the entire album in auto-tune.
And he's a genius.
He is.
This dude is a genius.
So he's one of those guys that people would say he's so smart, he's crazy.
Yeah.
You know,
Albert Einstein-esque and all that, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
The evolution was really great. Going from when you take back to the car accident, just.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, how he did through the wire. Oh, my God. Yeah, it's genius.
The speech about George Bush with Michael Myers, then the whole Taylor Swift thing.
Right.
To just see the evolution of what he's been able to do. And I remember he was saying that he wants to be like Versace, Gucci. He wants to be that brand powerful.
And I think that buying the Gap will do that.
He's almost like Van Gogh.
Yeah.
Van Gogh was so brilliant. He was crazy. I mean, he chopped his own ear off, but his paintings were like, you know, revolutionary during the time.
And I think that by him doing that, and I think they know that too. And I think that's the one, and I think Adidas is probably inside on it as well, you know, of saying, hey, listen, I'm going to purchase this. And so when I get it, then I can do as I wish with it and acquire that. I think he's going to keep its integrity, but because it's a 10-year deal. It's a decade. So, but it's for renewal after 5. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's just what they're telling us. But I think that in truth, it's probably a
year. Be my successor.
Yeah.
You take this thing over, but let me see what you can do in this first 5 years. I can choose to go in another direction.
Right. And I think after a year or so, they're probably going to make the announcement of, yeah, he's doing so well with it, you know. And then, again, to circle, and the reason why I opened this door is because it circles back to the very beginning of this show where I talked about phase two economically. Mm-hmm. You know, people have been saying, well, why is Kanye not saying anything? Why is Kanye not saying anything? Well, he's saying it. He's just not saying it the way you want him to say it. So he's doing moves in the boardroom. He's doing moves at the bank. He's doing moves with labeling.
And that's part of why I always hate it when people attack folks for not having anything to say or not putting stuff on Instagram or Facebook or not speaking out. They may not, like you just said, they may not be speaking out in the way that you want them to.
That's right.
Or that's always vocal.
That's right.
Some things are hidden. You won't see until it, you know, it hits the fan.
That's right.
I think what you're saying about Kanye is absolutely brilliant.
And even to this extent, in that boardroom. The Bible talks about it like this. Those that are speaking and being mouthpieces of God are no more than fools. And Kanye's done a whole lot of foolish things.
Yep.
And many people who are wise would say that's crazy. Well, God takes the foolish things and confines the wise.
Confines the wise.
And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I think, or something like 1 or 2. And what I think he's doing through Kanye is he's taking a person who's been extremely foolish and confining the wise. Well, I don't like what he's doing with these Sunday services. And I don't like what he's doing and all this gospel stuff. And I don't like how he's not speaking up. You just don't like Kanye.
Right? Yeah, you just don't like him. And it goes back to what I was saying about Lecrae. You know? It goes back about that, because Lecrae to me is one of the most brilliant minds spiritually, Christian, as a Christian man. He's one of the most brilliant people out there right now. And he's one of those people that I think that it's going to be a situation where people are not going to appreciate him until later.
Yep.
That they're going to be like, man.
Because he revolutionized.
He did. He changed. He moved the needle on the record of that.
I can even put it like this. He made it to where Molly Music could feel comfortable being himself. But that's a conversation for another day.
Yeah, that's a whole nother thing.
I'm sorry. I'm just thinking about it. You know, we're talking about people, whether you like it or not, have been extremely gifted.
Yeah.
And you're looking at the gift and expecting them to be great in everything.
Come on, man.
And I don't think that's how it works.
Yeah.
You know, because they're only human.
So as creative people, what would you say is our responsibility right now?
Be you.
Yep.
Be comfortable being great at what you're good at.
Yeah.
And don't feel like you have to conform to a society that's demanding more from you that you can't produce.
So don't be conformed, but be transformed.
Absolutely. Transform your gift. Yeah. You know, elevate your communication and how you cultivate what you're doing.
Yeah.
And communicate that. Like Kanye didn't have to speak out anything about Black Lives Matter, because he's saying Black Lives Matter because I'm about to buy the Gap, fam.
Right. Yeah.
You know, now what are you doing? Because all I see you doing is talking on social media.
Right. Yep.
And posing as though you're doing something about the way our world is. And I'm transforming boardrooms by my actions, because my actions are speaking a whole lot louder than your words.
That's it. That's good, man. That's good. That's good. What were you about to say, Antonio? You about to say something?
Well, I was just going to say that another way we can help foster it is to not be so critical. Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean you have to criticize something. And you can relate that back to life, to race, to cultures. If I don't understand, say, someone that's Chinese, Mexican, or whatever, it doesn't mean that I criticize them. I should take more of an interest in trying to understand and see what their culture is. And with the creative, you want to let that person express themselves and learn more about them, because they may open something up in you.
That's good, man.
And another thing is, like you were saying earlier, I've learned in the military, just because you don't see someone fighting or yelling, that doesn't mean they're not moving on your behalf.
Come on.
There have been many nights where I've been in meetings after work, taking heat rounds, yelled at, chewed out, fussed at, fighting for soldiers that had no idea.
Wow.
And the next day, they're like, well, you didn't do this, or you let me down. And they had no clue that I may have just saved you from getting put out of the military or something else.
Yeah.
And you have to be humble and just understand that some people, they're not going to see it that way.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. What would you say is the most creative thing that you've seen since all this has happened? That something that you're like, man, that is incredible. Like only from what we've experienced could turn out a creative situation like that creatively.
Talking about the landscape of the United States?
Yeah. Like, for example, the drawing the Black Lives Matter on the streets on Pennsylvania Avenue.
I think changing the name of the street.
Yeah, 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 yeah. See,
right in front of the White House.
You see, like, the perspective? Some people will look at the actual street, but you're looking at the actual change of the name.
Yeah.
So you're looking at it from a legislative standpoint.
I'm looking at it from
point.
What am I going to remember 10 years from now?
That's right. It. Yeah.
And what's going to stand 10 years from now is the street name.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's going to be that way. Just for example, the intersection in Bed-Stuy in New York where they shot Do the Right Thing is called Do the Right Thing Parkway.
Mercy.
Like, that is the name
like
of the street.
History.
Yeah. It's the only street named after a movie in the entire country. It's in the Guinness World Book of Records.
That's powerful.
In the world. It's the only street that's named after a film.
Now BLM is going to be the only street named after
a movement.
Protesting movement. Yep. We got Dr. King who was named that, but we're talking about a movement name.
Yeah, yeah.
That's transcended anything that we've seen thus far.
It made history.
Yeah.
So it's in the annals of time until, you know, unless something, heaven forbid, happens to Washington, D.C., that street will be there.
Listen.
That is amazing. That is amazing. That is amazing, guys. My last question, and I'm going to say this. What do you think it would take to prevent us from, as a country, from falling into this cycle again of, you know, like Antonio said earlier, we've seen this before. We've been there before where people get mad. Ferguson, Brown, Trayvon, Breonna, Sandra. It just goes on and on and on. Even back in the 90s, Rodney King and Yusef Hawkins and things like that. So what would it take for America to not fall into this again?
I think a great responsibility of that falls on educators.
Yep. Absolutely.
And as an educator, I accept full responsibility for that. I think, and I've preached this since I've started teaching, that we have to move beyond curriculum. We have to move beyond just teaching I teach children. I don't teach a curriculum.
Come on, man.
Right?
Come on.
And so when I step in front of that classroom, we have real conversations about what it means to be a Black person in America.
Yeah.
We have real conversations of what it means to be Latinx in America. We have real conversations about, you know, Christopher Columbus. He wasn't what the history books say that he was, right?
Right, 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 right.
So just having those real, deep, and meaningful conversations and teach them about their history, because you'll be surprised. A lot of our children don't know that. And I hate to, you know, turn it into this, education
please.
is what I do.
Yeah.
And so we really have to be intentional and be creative, particularly in this moment when we go back into the classroom in the fall, whether that is online or, you know, in person, whatever the case is, teachers have to be intentional with teaching. We've seen quite a bit unfold since March.
Man, a lot has unpacked.
And kids are not stupid. They're not crazy. They see and they're watching
plenty of
what's going on. Yep. And if we are not intentional with speaking about those things, we are doing our country and our children a grave disservice.
Wow. That's that. Now, that to me, I think, couldn't close it out better. So, yeah, that's amazing. Thank you guys so much again. We're going to have to do this again. We got to do this again, man. It's going to be a volume 3. So it's like Blueprint.
Yeah.
So we got so we got all these volumes that go happen with Blueprint. So, all right, cool, man. So thank you guys. I love you guys so much. And thank y'all. In conclusion, yes, it's summertime, but don't call Will Smith just yet. America's still in crisis. The topic of racism is just as hot as our Mid-South temperature, and Corona is still out there. But fear not, the tomb is still empty and the church doors are still open, virtually. But more importantly, the heart of Christ is open to receive you. As believers, we must do our due diligence to ensure that we hold fast the race set out for us and endure like a good soldier on the battlefield of life. Whether it's through our creativity, our education, or even keeping our peace, our service, or our calling, we are mandated as believers to do our part in the earth for the Lord. And that starts, as Jesus himself said, by A, loving the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and B, listen to this, loving your neighbor as yourself. Sounds easy? Take a look around and you'll find, for many, you included, that it's more difficult than you think. Remember, you have purpose as a creative person, and God wants to make use of it to not only be a blessing for you, but to help move his kingdom through you. I want to do something different as we end today. I want to invite you to have a personal relationship with Christ. If you are somebody that has been on the fence about building a relationship with him, if you are someone who wants to grow closer to God by listening to these podcasts and notice that we talk about God a lot because we are Christian people, well, you're not alone. God is with you. And if you want to make the choice to follow Jesus Christ, I would urgently suggest that you go to a Bible-based church, connect with people who are believers, and seek the Lord yourself. The Bible says that seek him that he may be found. And that when you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all these things will be blessed unto you. Well, what are these things? Long life, understanding, wisdom, love, mercy, grace, abundance, and peace of mind. Seek Christ today and go, Creator, go. I'm Antoine Bean. Peace. Go Creator Go was created in Memphis, Tennessee at the Triumph Media Works Studios. For more information on Triumph Media Works Studios, check out our website at triumphmediaworks.com and follow Go Creator Go on social media at Go Creator Go on Instagram and Facebook and at G Creator G on Twitter. Until next time, be blessed.